This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
We weren't setting out to do these huge things. We were just starting with solving a problem we hoped a few other people had.
Are patients dying from the care they're getting rather than from the disease for which they're seeking care? Well, that's a question raised by Johns Hopkins researchers in their just-released study that's been published in BMJ, formerly the British Medical Journal. Here's what they found. Medical errors cause 251,000 deaths every year in this country. That would put medical errors as the third leading cause of death, just behind heart disease and cancer, and ahead of respiratory disease and a host of others. The Johns Hopkins team is calling for the CDC to immediately add medical errors to its annual list reporting top causes of death. But is the study giving us the entire picture? Dr. Robin Hemphill is with us now. She directs the Veterans Administration's National Center for Patient Safety. Dr. Hemphill, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
This is such a complex issue, but it's also a very emotional issue in the sense that it does touch everyone listening to us. And I'm sure you understand this study really got people's attention because no one wants to think that that physician or nurse might make an error that has a fatal outcome.
This article did get a lot of attention, and certainly it touches on something that every one of us, when we go into the health system, are things that we don't anticipate we need to think about, as in, you know, could an error or something untoward happen to us while we're under the care of some place that's supposed to help us. So this really was a big issue, although it's not the first time we've heard this either.
So in your experience, Dr. Hemphill, where do you believe the weak areas are in the entire process of patient going in, being cared for? What needs to be better and how?
Well, that's a big issue. And the article makes a point that we really only tend to track areas of inpatient harm. So there's these entire areas that we may not entirely understand yet, especially as we try to move more of our care into an outpatient realm. But at the end of the day, the healthcare system is very complicated. There's enormous handoffs, a huge amount of information, a fragmented healthcare system. So really ample opportunities for failures to occur. We bring in brand new medications. We bring in brand new technologies. We bring in brand new computer systems. We're doing surgeries that you couldn't have imagined years ago. Each one of those processes has a vulnerability in it, or a vulnerability in the handoff, or a vulnerability along the continuum of care. And that's why it is so difficult for us to entirely fix and get our arms around our systems. So rather than imagining we're going to fix one harm at a time, if we were to step back and say, we need to understand that people are human and they will make human mistakes, especially when they try to interface with complexity, a variety of patient needs that need to sometimes be unique but other times be standardized as they're trying to bring in and learn new procedures that can be life-saving.
And doing it under often very stressful circumstances or long, long hours on duty.
Exactly. So all of those things, each thing contributes to potential harms or the, you know, the outcomes that we don't want. But imagine, think about this in your own life. We have built a car now that doesn't rely on you as the driver to be perfect and always make the right turn and always see the stop line. We understand that people will make mistakes for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they're being a little bit crazy and they're driving too fast. Other times they lose attention for a moment. Other times they just can't control that a deer runs in front of them. So we say, listen, driving is inherently unsafe. So let's design a car that is safe. That's where seatbelts came from. That's where airbags came from. That's how we design roads with lights and rumble strips across the side or guardrails. So we begin to think about our system and say, let's design it under the anticipation that patients are complex, have a bunch of needs. They will interface with providers who are also human beings with their own limitations, mixing in new technologies that are new, different, hard to work with. If we think about stepping back and designing things under the assumption that people are flawed, we might be getting to design things differently. And that's a major culture change.
And is that a culture change you think can or is happening in American hospitals and clinics?
I think that you're beginning to see some pockets of it. certainly in the past, the Veterans Administration really talked about a culture of safety. This is a culture where we say, we won't punish people for making mistakes, for being human. We won't punish people for speaking up and saying, hey, I'm worried about this. And instead of saying, yeah, just work harder, don't worry about it, don't talk about it, to try and talk about our errors or our mistakes or our concerns. But we also have strong accountability principles. So in other words, if you have somebody who intentionally, repeatedly, just flaunts policies that are designed to keep people safe, you have to hold that person accountable. That's called a just culture. It's very hard to sustain. It's very hard to do it in any system, because too often we just think that if we punish people for making a mistake, they'll remain attentive all of the time. If we just punish people and hold them accountable, and we do that across the health system, we somehow imagine that they'll suddenly be superhuman. What we recognize in the safety culture is even the most brilliant, dedicated, committed, passionate person is going to make mistakes sometimes. So let's build the system around that assumption rather than saying you must always be superhuman 100% of the time.
What can be done to bring patients and family members into the effort to cut medical errors?
What we're beginning to say and trying very hard to do is say, you know what, our patients, certainly in the VA, our veterans and their families need to be partners with us in their own health care. They're not passive. They cannot be passive. And yet you'll find it's very hard for a veteran or for a patient. I mean, imagine the times that you or a family member has been in the hospital. You're having some pain, you're worried about something, you want to ask for some help, but you're sort of like, well, I don't want to bother them, and maybe they'll think my question isn't helpful. And so we've been really, and you're seeing this in several areas, the Joint Commission has been trying to promote a campaign called Ask. In other words, you're a patient, ask what's going on, ask what's going to happen to you. In the VA, we've really tried to take that a step further. We have something called the Daily Plan. The Daily Plan is designed to allow a nurse to easily access what is supposed to happen to a patient in the hospital today. It creates here's the checklist. These things are supposed to happen. These are the medicines you should get. These are the x-rays or the tests. This is what we should achieve for you today. The nurse can then sit with the veteran and the family and go through that list of things. This is what should happen to you. This is your daily plan. This is your roadmap for what will happen to you today. And what that now allows is the veteran or their family is very empowered at that point. You come in to give them a medication and they say, hey, I don't see that medication on my daily plan. Or they know that they're supposed to get a medication and now they can go out and say, I thought I was due a medication at this time frame. Somebody says, hey, we're taking you for a test. The veteran can say, that's not on my daily plan. Are you sure I'm supposed to get that test? So take that into any point where you're engaging with a medical system, whether it's in your doctor's office, whether you're getting a procedure described to you, you're going to come into the hospital and get surgery. As a family member and as a patient, you must be your own advocate in this system. It's complex. You cannot and should not assume that everything is going the way it's supposed to. If it doesn't make sense to you, ask, speak up. And more, we're trying to develop systems in the VA where not only can a doctor or a nurse type in this was an error or a close call, we're hoping someday down the road that we'll be able to get the patients and their family members access to a little computer screen where they'd be able to type in, these are the things that I saw. Because the perspective and the vantage point that a patient has is very different. We get used to things in the hospital. We work there every day. We need their input, their engagement, and certainly we need people to be partners in their own health care.
Dr. Robin Hemphill directs the VA's National Center for Patient Safety. Dr. Hemphill, thank you so much for talking with us today on The Next Idea.
It was terrific to be here. Thank you for your time.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.